Let me first of all say that I am I'm glad, and I don't know what I was going to say. Anybody know what I was going to say? Amen. That's a good thing to say. By the way, where's Les and Jackie? Sick? Was Amy Rome Mountain? Ohio. Okay. All right. All right. I think I know everybody else. Tony, is Tony still having trouble with his back? Anybody know? Okay. All right. I want to thank Gene for filling in for me last week. I don't want him to get used to that. It won't be a habit with me. Unless I'm providentially hindered, I don't miss very many Sundays, and last week was one of the few. So, but I do appreciate him fulfilling my duties last week. It's good to have our guests today, and it's good to be back. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, the Lord gives us this day every week to come and give him thanks and praise, for he's certainly worthy of that. Now, we are in the book of... Now, our guest is not going to know anything unless you all speak up. We're in the book of Galatians, and there's one verse that we've keyed on. Does anybody remember? Don't look. Look towards me. Look, as Judge Jude says, look right here. Does anyone recall the verse that we've sort of emphasized? Because it lets you know the theme and the context of the whole book. It's the thread. You ladies know about sewing, I'm sure. Us men know nothing about sewing. That's why I go to my wife. But it's the thread that pulls it all together. Anybody remember the verse? If I start you, could you remember it? I marvel. In other words, see, I knew it. All you got to do is just sort of get them going. It's like a water. You pump it a little bit, prime it a little bit, and off they go. I marvel, I'm astonished, I'm shocked that you are so soon, so quickly. The word there is the word that we get tachometer from. And tachometer doesn't measure how fast the car's going, it measures the speed of the motor, how fast the pistons are going. It means quickly. It's the same way in which Jesus said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he'll return. You know, people think they're going to have time to get ready. You've heard the old saying, you won't have time to blink. Well, you won't. It'll be over with that quick. And Paul is saying, I'm astonished. I'm in shock that you are so quickly removed. The word there means to transform, to transport, to translate, to... You're here. And now you're here. It's the same thing where he says that you have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You've been moved. And he says, I'm just in shock that you've so quickly removed yourself. It's a personal thing. I know you don't mind me using you. I know. I know you love her. I know you do. But did you know that no matter how much you love her, you can't save her? It's personal to me. no matter how much I love my little wife, I can't save her. No matter how much she would love me, she can't save me, nor you, nor anyone else. And he says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly removed from him. Not Christianity, not Protestantism, not religion, not Catholicism, not Buddhism. From him. Him what? Him that hath called you. That him, who is him? It's God. You know, sometimes we forget who invited us to his presence. You know, I asked you a couple weeks ago to do this. You know, if God don't give you that breath, you ain't going to take. I mean, we take so for granted the mundane things of life. That if God said, just remember, I've told you this so many times. If God does this to you, brother, they'll carry you out of here. If he just closes his hand, we'll have to call the people to carry. Well, we got one over here. He can help us. He goes in all the time, carries them out. He can't carry too much. He doesn't carry as much as he used to. He sort of supervises now. You boys get that. But we forget who's called us to what? Does anybody remember the verse? Or is it not coming back to you? I mean, all of a sudden Pam was just quoting it, but now she's not helping me. From him who hath called you into what, Dwayne? Into grace. Not Christianity, not religion, into grace. Now, I want you to file that under G. You know, it starts with a G. File that under G. We'll come back to it. So if you would, turn to Job. We'll teach the second chapter of Galatians, and we're going to start over in Job, chapter 9. Now, I'm going to say some things this morning, and if you don't listen very carefully, you're going to think that I'm too harsh. If you don't listen very carefully, you're going to think that I'm too critical. If you don't listen too carefully, you're going to think that I'm too judgmental. I'm doing neither. I'm not criticizing. I'm not judging. I'm not critiquing. I'm just going to tell you how it is. You draw your own conclusions. There's an age-old question for man that I think personally, don't run out and say, oh, Tom taught this Sunday. This is my personal opinion. I'm entitled to it. You're entitled to yours. But I think that we have so distorted who God is. People don't realize they have to come to him. You know, we're wondering why people aren't being saved. Well, we've so distorted God, they don't believe they need to come to God. We've got God now as this old man up on some chair in heaven with a long white beard that just overlooks everything. That's just a God of love. Just accepts anything and everything. Well, Job, if you'll recall the story of Job, the story goes that it says, and there was a time when the sons of God. Now, look, if you chase that, it's talking about angels, ministering spirits. And they all came before the throne of God. And Satan came, because Satan was created. And, you know, sometimes we give Satan too much credit, folks. I realize who he is and I realize what he is. But he ain't God. And he don't have God characteristics. He don't have God power. You know, I'll give you this. It broke my heart, and it still got me heavy this morning. I got a text from a very good friend of mine yesterday, a very good friend, a very dear friend. And I could tell, you know, and I'm not much of a texter. Don't text me, please, unless you have to. Call me. You know, if you can text me, you can call me. I don't do that. Because by the time I text you back, you've texted me five more messages that I got to text back, and I ain't got the first one done yet. You know, and so I'm so far behind on the text, you know, if you'll talk to me, I can sort of keep up. But anyway, he texted me, and he said, "Don, would you pray for our church?" A young pastor resigned Wednesday night. And the church is in turmoil. And he said, "I believe Satan sent in an army on us." And I said, "Well, Jimmy," I said, "let me tell you something." I said, "Be faithful to God. And God will take care of the troublemakers. It's not up to me to take care of the troublemakers. It's up to me to stay faithful to God and to God's word. And I can assure you, God takes care of troublemakers who are trying to divide." Because that's one of the seven things he hates, you remember? Those who cause division among the brethren. And so, if you would remember that, it just seems like there's an assault on the word of God and on the people of God. But folks, that's a good sign to us. You know, to we who know him, that just causes us to... our redemption's drawing nigh. You know, we see all the turmoil in the world and all the turmoil in the church, but I told him, I said, "Jimmy, handle it now. It will fester, and it'll tear your church apart. Just get it handled. Before everybody, just get it handled." But that's neither here nor there. That's just going back to Satan. He said Satan had brought in an army. Well, Satan don't bring in an army. Satan's in the army. Remember we talked about that in Jude? Certain men who have... Thank you, honey. God love your heart. That's why you're my assistant. The rest of them, I could see their little minds. Okay, let me get to Jude. He's in Galatians, now he's in Job. Let me get over to Jude. They have crept in unawares. Well, that's what happened up there. They crept in unawares. You have to be on guard, all the time on guard. And so here they've come before God, and he says to Satan, God says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that he is perfect and righteous?" And Satan said, "Well, says, yeah, but you take away all those possessions you've given him, he'll curse you to your face." What does that say about Satan? Well, he is, but what does that say about him? To me, that says this, that he knows Job better than God knows Job. God's done declared him righteous. God's declared him perfect. And Satan said, "Yeah, but it's because of all the stuff you give him. Nobody knows you like God knows you." And so he says, "Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, you go ahead and take him. But you can't have his life. Go ahead and take him. Can't have his life." He did. What happened? But Job just said, "Well, the Lord giveth. The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Huh? Well, here they come back around the throne again. He says, "Have you considered my servant Job down there?" And he said, "Yeah, I considered him." He says, "Yeah, but you attack him personally, he'll curse you to your face." "Oh, so you know him better than I do?" Well, I'll tell you what, you go ahead and do that. You go ahead and attack him personally, but you can't have his life. Don't you try to take his life. So what happened? Job wakes up with boils all over him. And he's got three friends that come in. They're going to console him. And tell him what all the problem is. And that's where we're sort of at in chapter 9. Bildad has already told him, you know, he says, well, listen, God will take care of the perfect, but and the wicked he'll judge. Well, Bildad sort of had a wrong idea there. He's sort of saying what sounds good, doesn't he? But Job, he's righteous. Remember, God's done give a testimony of Job. Job knows the deal. Well, let's see what Job's got to say. He says, of a truth, I know that is so of a truth. I know what you're saying is true. But he says, how then can a man be right with God? Can a man be right with God? That's my question to you. Can a man be right with God? That's a simple question. That's not a complicated question. The answer is either yes or no. Can a man or a woman, mankind, humanity, I'm not getting into pronouns, so let's don't go there. I'm just going to keep it like God made it, man and woman. Can a man or a woman be right with God? That's yes or no. The answer is no. Because Job says, how then can a man be right with God? I've done my best, but how then can a man be right with God? Let's see what he says. I know it is of a truth, but how should man be right with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart, mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Which removeth the mountains and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun. And it, listen, if God says sun don't rise, bless God, it's not going to rise. Well, how can I get right before him? If I went in to argue with him, I couldn't say one word out of a thousand that could argue with him. God is God. God is sovereign. I can't get right with him. I can't do anything that'll make me right with him. Which commandeth the sun, it riseth not, sealeth. By the way, to my visitor, I get nuts sometimes. I understand that. I get wild. I get loud. I hope it doesn't offend you. I'm just passionate. And I get more passionate every day about this book, about this word, because I see a young man walk into a school and kill little children without even blinking an eye, and this crazy country we live in can't even figure it out. You have to be demon possessed. It ain't mental illness, bless God. It's a demon possession. It's the only thing you can say that without blinking an eye, you could just shoot a little innocent child that you don't even know. But we won't come to God and say, oh God, we're in trouble. So Job says, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? God's too great. He tells the sun not to rise, it don't rise. Who am I? Well, let's see who he is. He says, who maketh Eretus, or that's actually the bear, if you want to put that so that you understand it when you read it the next time, which maketh the bear and Orion and Pleiades, those are all constellations. And he says, And the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what do you do? What are you doing? If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? Whom though I were righteous and would not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. Who is man that thou art mindful of him, O God, or the son of man that thou shouldest even You're him. Who is man compared to God? Well, you're going to find out here in a second. You're going to find out why we're not getting more people saved, folks. We got to get God in his place. We got to get man in their place. When I say man, that takes in both. He says, if I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if of judgment, who shall see me? Who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me. In other words, I can say, listen, I don't need God. I'm good. But your own mouth with those words will prove you're not who you're supposed to be, because you know that's a lie. There is none good, bless God, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All like sheep have gone astray. That's God's word. And Job knows that. Job knows who he is. That's why God said, have you considered my servant Job? Job had it right. That's why he says, how can I be right with God? And so he goes on and he says this. This one thing, therefore, I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. Well, who's the perfect there? Huh? Well, the perfect is the good religious people, the neighbors that wouldn't harm a fly, that would take the shirt off their back and give it to you, that's philanthropist, that gives money to the poor, that does everything, and we say, boy, they're good people. Oh, those are good people. And then you've got the demon-possessed people like that walk into that school and kill people. You've got the wicked. The people don't even care about God. Don't even think about God. Well, what he's saying is it don't make no difference. Well, you're that good neighbor or that bad person. You ain't right with God. You ain't going to get right with God by anything you do. You ain't going to get wrong with God by anything you do either. You're just wrong with God. That's his point. That's what he's trying to tell Bildad. How then shall a man be right with God? Look over at 25, chapter 25. If you turn there fast, you'll get there. If you don't, you'll be slow. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies? Talking about God now. And upon whom doth it not his light arise? Is there anybody that gets up during the day and God's light don't hit them? No. No. How then can man be right with God? And how can he be clean that is born of a... I wish one of them blessed God centers would read that out to one of these testifiers. When they say, can a man get pregnant? And they say, yes. You know, we laugh at that. And I don't mean that personally. We laugh at that. That ain't nothing to laugh at. That's making God out a liar. There's no man ever got pregnant. I mean, you ask a person that's going to be in our government, does a man have a uterus? Well, no, we don't like to. Well, then can a man get pregnant? Yes. We have become spiritually insane. We ain't right with God. And if they think God's just up there, ain't paying attention to this. And I don't say this with glee, folks, but they're sadly mistaken. It's because we're not right with God. And so he says, he goes on, he says this, how then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of woman? When he says that he's born of woman, that means everybody. No one comes into this world is not born of woman. So everybody comes in this world can't be right with God and is not right with God. B. behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. In other words, he told the sun not to rise, and he'll tell the moon not to shine, and I guarantee you it won't shine. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a maggot. Anybody in here like maggots? Do you know where maggots are? Inside you. That's why when you die, if you just get laid out, you're in a field somewhere, they'll come back about a week later, and you know what'll be eating you? Maggots. And you know where those maggots come from? Inside you. They're already there. Just waiting for the tissue and the cells to die. That's who we are. But if we tell people that, that's offensive. Well, God's offending them. He says, well, are you offended if I tell you the truth? You say, Tom, why are you telling us this? Because if we don't put God in his place and get us in our place, how in the world do we expect somebody to get saved? Because they're not going to see they need God. If we don't tell you, you're a maggot. You're a worm. You're nothing. Then you're not going to look to God that you'll be something. How much less man that is a worm? The son of man that is a worm, a maggot. Now look, if you will, over at Psalms 43. If you're not there, that's okay. I'll read it anyway. Psalms 43. So we got Job saying that. Did I say 43? Well, it ain't 43. It ain't 43, and I got to find it because I've lost my place. Where is I know? Oh, no. Pardon me. It's 143. Is there a 143? If it's not, I'm in trouble. Oh, it is. There is a 143. And here's what it says. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Now, this is a psalmist, a man whom Jesus himself gave the testimony that he was a man after God's own heart. Here's what the psalmist said. Hear my prayer, O Lord. This is what the world needs to do. This is what America needs to do, folks. Listen, I realize that we're on a Memorial Day weekend. I get that. I'm a Marine myself. I've been in battle. I've seen men die. I've seen women die. I know what death looks like. And I know what this Memorial Day weekend's supposedly for. But all those men and women that died couldn't save you. Their death couldn't pay your sin debt. Their death could give you a freedom that you enjoy here. But there was one who died, that can save you, that can save me, that can pay my sin debt. Remember in Galatians, what did he say? That he paid for our sins, that he might. Yeah. Ma'am, I'm sorry. They're generally smarter than this. that he might deliver us from this evil world according to the will of God. Think about that. You can't praise God unless you think about that. The very one that says, if the sun don't rise, it don't rise. The very one that could say, moon don't shine and the moon don't shine. The very one that could say, stars fall out of heaven and they'll fall right out of heaven. Is the very one that come down here on this godless earth among godless people that are nothing more than worms and humble himself. The Bible says humble himself even to the death of the cross. For this cause came he into the world to save sinners. That's who God is. And if we don't get him back where he belongs, we won't have a chance to get man where he belongs, so that man will look to the only place we can to save him. And so he says this, and enter not into judgment with thy servant. Now this is the psalmist saying this, folks. A man after God's own heart, but this is his attitude. It has to be our attitude. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Isn't that what the Bible says in Peter? Yes, it does. You can go look it up. I promise you it's there. He says, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be right. So the psalmist, who is a man after God's own heart, has the same attitude as the man whom God said, he's my righteous servant. I can't be right in your sight. Now look, if you will, over at, oh, Tommy, come on. 2 and 22. Jeremiah 2 and 22. Jeremiah 2 and 22. I'm there. If you're not, I'll read anyway. For though thou wash thee with nitre, in other words, a cleaning material, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. You can't get rid of your sin. You can't clean yourself up. You can't turn over enough leaves. You can't do enough good deeds. You can't have enough good thoughts. You can, listen, you can look clean, feel clean, but God says, I've already marked you sin before me. So what does that tell you, Bill? Here's what that tells you. You don't mind me talking to you. The rest of them won't talk to me. If your sin, and mine, I'll put me and you in the same category, that way I won't offend you. If your sin is marked already before God, and he says you can't clean up, you can't get rid of it, then you can't get right with God. Nor can you. Nor you, nor you, nor you. Your sin is there. You can't do anything about it. You say, Tom, this is confusing. Oh, it won't be if you'll stay with me. Because that same psalm, that same man of Job, he said this, oh, that there was a mediator between me and God. Because I know if God looks at me, my sin is already marked there. I know if God looks at me, he's already said I'm a worm. I know if God looks at me, he's already said I ain't right with him. I need somebody Remember how you used to do that to your grandchildren? Peepa. Oh, and they thought that was so good. And they'd do like this, and they'd say, where'd they go? Where'd they go? And they, you know. They... You better have somebody that God don't see. You can't make yourself right. If God judges you, you're done. But oh, aren't you glad that God said this? There is one mediator between God. He can't see you no more than he will. from the only one that can show you grace and make you right in God's sight. That's what Galatians is about. It's about grace. Job knew it. The psalmist knew it. Jeremiah knew it. And Paul, look at Romans chapter 3 real quick. If you're not there, I'll read anyway. Well, you'll beat me. I'm slower than smoke. Romans chapter 3. I'm just going to read now. Try to think of what I've said up to this point. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's verse 10. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open scepter, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Bless God, they can go into a school and kill children. That's because they're lost. That's because they don't know God. They're not right with God. And the devil can take them and do what he wants to with them. And if you don't believe that, bless God, you're teaching your children wrong. I don't care how good your child is. If they don't know Jesus Christ, bless God, they'll see something on the internet and they're capable of doing the same thing. If you're smart, you'll take that garbage and throw it in the trash. But I guess that's too old-fashioned to say. It just seems like every time something like this happened, well, they've got on social media where they was on there and they was saying this and they was doing that. Well, bless God, if they hadn't been on there, maybe they wouldn't have got the idea. If they wasn't playing these stupid games where you're just killing people, maybe they wouldn't have got the idea. But maybe that's too old-fashioned to say. I'll move on. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace they've not known. And there is no... Thank you for finishing that. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of God. Well, how then shall a man be right with God? There's no fear of God. He's not going to come to God for grace. He's not going to come to God for mercy. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become... Well, if you don't realize you're guilty, how are you going to know that you need to get right? I mean, if you walk into court and you know you killed the person, yet you stand before the judge and he says, how do you plead? And you say, not guilty. Now, that's what they all do. Now, I can sort of understand that in man's court. Because sometimes man gets it wrong. Man's court gets it wrong sometimes. We convict innocent people. But not so in God's court. No. See, there's no innocent people walking in there. I mean, you can't get it wrong if they're all guilty. And Job says, well, how then, if we're all guilty, can a man be right with God? The psalmist says, oh God, don't judge me, because if you judge me, there's none living that'll be right. You see the dilemma we're in? You see the predicament we're in? You see how man has no hope, no chance? If you understand that, then you'll understand the grace of God. If you understand that, you'll understand the mercy of God. He says, the mercy of God endureth forever, and his truth unto all generations. But if you don't know the truth, if you don't accept the truth, well, you're not going to know about mercy. He says, come boldly before the throne of that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of trouble. Well, when's your time of trouble? Right now. Today is the day. Now is the time. You're in trouble if you're lost. If you're lost, God's looking right dead at you. And I say that word respectfully, dead. Because he says that we're dead in trespasses and sin. God's looking at a dead man walking or a dead woman walking. But we won't say that. We don't say it enough. Bless God, if you're lost, you're dead in 4 o'clock. You're dead spiritually, and one of these days you'll be dead for all eternity in hell. Because you're not right with God. You can't ever be right with God. Do you understand that? How then can a man be right with God? He can't! That's why you better have somebody between you. You better have somebody God looks at and says, oh, he's righteous. I mean, it's, why do you think the Bible says that we are in Christ? It's the only safe place there is. If you're outside him, he sees you. You know, peep eye. But if you're in Christ, oh, you've got that mediator Job said we needed. You've got that mediator that the psalmist said you need. You've got the mediator that Jeremiah said you need. And you've got the mediator, it's here, I ain't got to it yet, that Paul says you need. Let's see if it does. And he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be right in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, here's my paraphrased version. I hope you will accept it. If you don't, that's okay. You can't keep God's law. God gave the law to show you that you can't keep God's law. And if you can't keep God's law, you're exposed. And you will always be exposed. But guess what? Oh, glory. Here it comes. Here it comes. He says, I didn't come to destroy the law. Oh, no, God's law. It don't get destroyed. It's there. He says, I didn't come to destroy it. I come to fulfill it. So if you're in Christ, guess what? The law has been fulfilled. Now he can't see you. Now he can't see you. That's why Paul says, I'm shocked that you would do that. You would remove yourself from the only grace, the grace of him that saved you. I'm shocked. So he, and Paul says over in Romans, he says this. He says, I wish my pastor was in here. I'll tell you what, if we couldn't get a big shout out this morning, we can't get it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophet. No. The Law and the Prophets is the book, folks. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto an all, upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, Paul, I'm going to tell you about the rest of Galatians. Paul says in chapter 2, he says, now, about 14 years later, he says, me and Barnabas, we went up to Jerusalem, you know, to meet with for lack of a word, religious leaders of the church, the elders of the church. We went up there and talked to them, and we told them about the gospel, the good news that was given to the Gentiles. Well, folks, if I am giving you good news this morning, there ain't nothing I can't give it. He says, I went up there to tell them about the good news of God that we were giving out to the Gentiles. And oh, he says, it's the same gospel that they're giving to the Jews. Peter's preaching it to the Jews. You're preaching to the Gentiles. And they accepted us as one. And he said, I told them that the same God that worked in Peter effectually, you know, to the Jews, worked in me effectually to the Gentiles. It was working good. He says, but there was some false brethren. I told you they creep in. He said there was some false brethren there too. What does that tell you? There's some that wanted to act like him, but they wasn't him. He had this, they didn't have that. They were going to rely on the law. And he says they wanted to steal our liberty. He said, but I didn't, now this is my word, I didn't give them the time of day. Am I done? I'm done. See you next week. Left.